We're going to come back and take calls with Craig Hewlett. We're going to talk a little bit about farm bankruptcies and how that affects all of us. And then we'll get into your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Craig Hewlett. We'll take your calls this hour as well. Craig, part of the backbone of America used to be farms. They were always producing. Now we're hearing about farm bankruptcies. What's happening to the farmers?
In over half the states, bankruptcies have really accelerated in over half the states. In Texas, 11,000 beef growers have asked the government to subsidize them. The subsidies are now running $2 billion just for beef.
God.
Manufacturing has finally just taken note that it's in its worst decline ever. Now, the reasons for this are the sanctions against China and Mexico, and the threat of sanctions being applied to other countries. You have to understand, this isn't because Donald Trump is stupid. He simply doesn't understand something that most people don't understand. The globalization process that began in 1945 after the war was won, that was referred to as a fin de siècle, an end of an era. That should have been looked at and understood for what it was. The elite understood it. The end of World War II, and they were in a position to take over our government. That's when the coup d'etat actually took place, if you want to argue that way.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody took over the government, and it was the corporate elite. The corporation...
Without a shot being fired.
Pardon?
Without a shot being fired.
Yeah, that's the sad part, because the American people had suffered really bad from World War One and World War Two.
That's right.
The loss of our best and brightest. The heroes always go first. The best people die in a war first, and everybody knows that. Well, we had two world wars that ended in 45, and the corporate people who ran our government to win the war would have been removed from office had FDR survived. He actually promised exactly that. He said, let them take their profits. Let them get rich. We need to defeat our two enemies. I will take care of the rest of it after the wars are won.
Mm-hmm.
He died before
he died.
That happened. Ed Truman didn't have the backbone to deal with the corporate leaders because he respected them. He was a little businessman, a little haberdashery, and he thought GE was just like him. And by the way, I already got an email to answer a question about Genie Energy. Okay, you want to know who runs Genie Energy. Okay, the CEO is Dick Cheney. Jacob Rothschild Banking is on the board. Rupert Murdoch is on the board. James Woosley, ex-CIA director, ex-Secretary of Energy, Bill
Jeez.
Richardson, Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury, and an Israeli, Michael Steinhardt, a Wall Street trader, to name a few. That's who's on the board of one little company called Genie Energy that discovered oil and gas in the southern area of Jordan and Syria, and the Israelis went in, annexed the area, and they now control it. They also found fresh water, which was necessary for Israel to be independent.
Sure.
Now, I have nothing against Israel. I don't. I respect Israel. I admire their ability to survive in the region. But not one American should die for Israeli politics.
What's going on with Netanyahu? Have you checked into that one?
Well, he's one of the most ruthless men who, by the way, in case you don't remember, back 15, 20 years ago, when I was writing a corporatism book, and then the Hydra interrupted it, and then the other things happened, the militia happened, and I kept working on the book, thinking there was going to be an opening to publish it.
And finish it, yeah.
That only came just now. It took forever to write. I didn't know I'd written 560 words. I mean, pages. I didn't realize that. So it was a son of a gun to get done. But back to Trump. When he sanctioned China and Mexico and threatened sanctions against other countries that he felt weren't cooperating, Donald Trump shouldn't be held any more accountable than any other president that has done the same thing. But the process of globalization eliminates and rather makes it problematic to have sanctions. If you sanction China, you're sanctioning American corporations that are doing business in China on the board of directors of Chinese corporations. They're doing business in Australia. They're doing business everywhere. You're sanctioning American corporations.
Now, how did this all filter into Netanyahu, where he got indicted?
Oh, well, it doesn't. I was going back to the sanctions thing and trying to make people understand that Trump doesn't understand sanctions. And why should he?
He should have experts who do that.
He should have experts. That somebody should be telling him, if you slap China, they're going to do something ugly with rare earth minerals, because they already did it in 2010, and you can't even have a computer screen or a cell phone or a battery any longer without the Chinese permission. They can shut us down. That'll happen next if the sanctions aren't lifted. But, you know, rather than rant on about Trump, who's done it, we need to explain that the process of globalization, which is an imperial process of the empire being run by Western-led corporations that have done away with American sovereignty. If that hadn't happened, if globalization didn't happen, sanctions might actually work. And that's what Trump's thinking. I know that is what he's thinking, but he's wrong.
Anyways, you were going to comment on Netanyahu.
He's a CNN correspondent. He was the go-to guy for Israel on CNN. The guy has never been anything but the most ruthless and vicious individual towards the Palestinians. Now, if you're a Christian Zionist, you're probably going to agree with him. I can't hold truck with that. The Palestinians have suffered enough.
We need to carve out a homeland for them somewhere.
Look, we have military bases in 130 nations. We're at war in over 100 nations. We're killing people with drone attacks in over 100 nations. I've been called, quote, of late, a Negro lover, using the dirty word, Negro lover, a Mexican lover, a Native American lover. Because I will not support the wall, the border, all of the things that are going on. And I've been that way my whole life. Anybody that's listened to me for 40 years knows I will not tolerate racism.
I've known that in you for the last several years I've known you.
And I never haven't said it at some time or another. I almost always say it. So, yes, you know what? I want your audience and anybody up here in Grays Harbor that might be listening, and there are, and I want them to make sure they understand something, because I'll be on Doug McDowell on the 18th, and I'll repeat this on the air and a local show. Yes, I am a Negro lover. Yes, I am a Mexican lover. Yes, I am a Palestinian lover. I am an Irish lover, an Anglo-Saxon lover, and, yeah, I kind of like Native Americans, too. So if you are a bigot and you hate people simply because of who they are, a race, culture, creed, if you hate them, you're mentally ill.
You're a people lover.
I'm a people lover, exactly. It's why I've done this for a living. Nobody has the right to slaughter other people. But since I have made that statement, I'm just saying, yeah, exactly. I love everybody. Now, if you don't like me and you're a white supremacist, you're mentally ill.
Let's take some calls for you. They're lining up. John in Alliance, Ohio, get us started. John, go ahead.
Yes, I really like this program, and I think there's some real support for recent articles I've seen from Harvard, a study, and a Princeton study that concluded, and it's conclusions that we don't live in a democracy or a democratic republic, that it's a total oligarchy. And even former President Jimmy Carter and his Carter Institute, which monitors elections around the world, has said the same thing, and that these kinds of elections in other countries like Venezuela or other countries that the United States doesn't like and doesn't have the results that the United States doesn't like, Carter has said it with his election monitoring foundation, that they're far more fair and honest elections in those countries than in the United States.
Okay, hold on one second. The people behind the the activities of the Pentagon do not represent the United States. There is no U.S. empire. There is no Americans involved in foisting upon them the corporate regime that we're using the IMF to force on Venezuela, Bolivia, Guatemala, all of the African countries. There's no U.S. involvement. The U.S.'s Pentagon is used as the vehicle, as the point of the spear. But this is not the United States of America doing this. The United States of America is also under attack. Why do you think we have 100 million permanently unemployed adults?
How would you have handled, I've always wanted to ask you this, Fidel Castro, when he came in with his people and overthrew the crooked Batista, who did deals with the mob and God knows who else, how would you have handled that relationship? Because I'm told, Craig, he turned to us for help and we shunned him. Is
yes,
that true?
Yes, he did. And I'm sorry. Yeah, Kennedy did. It was as much Bobby and Jack Kennedy about Cuba because they were constantly being treated to the almost euphoric belief that Russia was behind everything that was evil. Now, I was no friend of Russia, and I sponsored defectors from Russia to speak on university campuses, which didn't go well, but I did it. I can't say how I would have handled it. I can't be, to be honest with you, this book isn't a solution-oriented book. I had to say this on other shows. When I talked about this book coming out, I had to tell them, look, I'm not offering a solution. I'm offering an explanation. That's as far as I can go. I don't believe I have the ability to offer up a solution to any of this since 1945. To be honest, you would have had to be a dictator to stop these corporate leaders from assassinating leaders throughout the world. They didn't just kill Americans. They didn't just kill senators and presidents. They killed people all over the world. A book was published, I can't find it right now, that 1960 to 1980 was three decades of assassinations.
They never stopped.
It never stopped. It started in 1945, and it never stopped. That's what you don't understand, is the corporate leaders that took over were just as ruthless in 1945 and before as they are today. They backed Lenin. They backed Hitler. They lent money to Hitler.
They sure did.
They're the same corporate leaders. They're the, some of them by name. They're the sons and daughters. The offspring.
U.S. banks helped Hitler.
Yes. AT&T. United Technologies. Look. When I say it's a corporate regime, I'm not talking about a corporation that you've started making shoes and socks, and that I've sat on the board of corporations in this country, and I still do.
It's the conglomeration that is as big as a country.
I'm talking about corporations that are monopolists, that hate free enterprise, and they sponsor left-wing organizations and right-wing organizations. They use the IMF. They don't care if the leader is from the left or the right. They don't care if he's black or white, as long as he goes along. The minute he doesn't go along,
he's out.
He's out.
He's
and
out.
They have no, they hold no truck in killing him.
Let's go to Perry in California. Welcome to the program. Hey, Perry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, George, so much. How are you, my friend?
Great. I'm wonderful. Thank
Great.
You.
And Craig Hewlett, it's a pleasure to talk to you finally.
Thank you.
You think? You know, you always hear about the 1%. You know how every, you know how the rich hoard their money, and it's not just here in the United States, but globally. It's just amazing to me that there should be laws that we could share the wealth, you know, with people, you know, in this country who are homeless and whatnot. I have a follow-up question after that, please, George.
Okay. And he's right that we should do so many things for the people that are homeless in this country, Craig. We could just help so many people, and we don't.
All right.
Do
well, unfortunately, you're talking to a lifelong cynic about reality, So I have to put the blame for that on the progressive left.
Yeah, somebody's got to be blamed for it.
But if you got to blame somebody, let's just be honest. It was the progressive left that claimed they were working in the interest of the workers and for the people. So either they failed miserably, or they were bought and paid for by the foundations run by the same corporate leaders like Rockefeller, Ford, Mobil Oil, NPR. Hello, wake up, people.
One more quick question, Per. Go ahead.
Yes, I mean, is this just a matter of total control, keeping in power? Is there something beyond the money, though, because money is power?
They want it all, Perry, don't you think, Craig?
Let me read you just a brief quote that's in this book. And again, these are quotes that I've sat on for over 15 years. Secrecy is thus necessary to hide the facts of power. The deception is necessary to make those facts appear different from what they are. The latter is the natural extension of the former. Secrecy is the shield of power, and deception the cloak of secrecy. Deception becomes an inherent aspect of the relationship between government and the public, between political leaders and followers. The hypocrisy that seizes all of the people some of the time is common coin for some of the people all of the time, their leaders all of the time. Government institutions are made to appear more open, more responsive to public opinion than they are. Political leaders also must appear to reflect the will of the people more than is actually the case. They have no choice but to kowtow to the appearance of democracy, however much they have attempted to avoid the reality of democracy.
Bingo.
Samuel P. Huntington.
Thomas in La Jolla, California. Get you in here, Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Thank you for taking my call. Craig, it's always a pleasure to hear your analysis. You know, Mike, a question, comment, and then back to the question again. I guess my question is, what happens when corporations collide, so to speak? I'm talking about when you have disagreements that cannot be compromised in the corporate boardrooms of the world, or they cannot be compromised within a family, such as the House of Rockefeller, the House of Rothschild, the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia.
They've learned to arbitrate. Why do you think it's Goldman Sachs owns 30 subsidiaries? Why do you think it's called Morgan Chase? Why do you think Exxon Mobil exists? Why do you think these large corporations are allowed to buy up each other? They've all agreed that in the boardroom is settled everything, because in the end, the goal is monopoly. Now, those conflicts you're talking about, those are the kinds of conflicts that used to exist. They're weeding out those conflicts by mergers and acquisitions.
That's right.
And if you want to blame anybody, really directly blame some institution in our government, it's the antitrust division of the Justice Department. They've reduced it to one desk and a phone.
We're coming back for more. Hold on, Craig. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with final calls. Next hour, Jim Willis joins us to talk about his latest work, The Quantum Akashic Field, a guide to out-of-body experiences for the astral travelers. So get ready for that. And welcome back. Craig Hewlett with us, of course, in your final phone calls. Craig, what do some of your clients say when they hear all this news? Do they just run away in panic or what?
Well, some of them have been with me for over 20 years. So those that have stayed the longest, they read everything I send them. They've read and reread all five of my books now. They've probably already read this one twice. I have very well-informed clients. Some of my other clients that aren't so well-informed, I go in and out of clients.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, their wives can't tolerate their husband's reality check.
They're probably sharper than the husbands.
Well, that is the problem, is if the wife isn't well-informed and the husband becomes well-informed, it can sound like he's getting very dark and cynical, and it will change the relationship. So I don't have very many husband and wife clients that aren't in total agreement with what I say. I admit this is a very dark area. It's a true reality check. It isn't for the lighthearted, and it doesn't get any better every year. It gets worse. Look what just happened in 2017. The corporate rate for the largest corporations went from a maximum rate of 35% maximum taxation to 21%.
Well, this reminds me of the late Peter Finch, who played the actor Howard Beale in the movie Network, where he was basically saying, leave me alone. Give us our radio tires and our TVs and leave us alone. I guess, does there come a point where with all this happening, the average person, Craig, has to simply say, just leave me alone. Let me
have.
Yeah.
They have. They already have. 40 years ago when I started, 35 years ago when I started doing lectures, 30 years ago when I was the top of the heap as a headliner for being interviewed on radio and television, I've done 16,000 hours of radio and television over the years. But,
yeah,
you know, the peak was reached 15 years ago when I started writing this book. And I've seen the change. We used to pull thousands of people at a lecture just by doing three or four interviews in any state, up and down the West Coast into North Dakota. Now I can't get interviewed. And if I did do a lecture, nobody would come.
Because it's so dark?
I think the people have changed. 30 years ago, they wanted information. They were looking for it. They were active participants in the political process. But when 100 million people become unemployed, that kind of takes away any degree of ambition to be political.
Right.
And on top of that, you're rejected if you are political now. Why do you think postmodernity is the problematic as the third title of my book?
Good point. Good point.
Postmodern thinking rejects active participation and positive thinking in the political realm. You are attacked for it. The only thing that's room is left is to be a Republican or a Democrat. Hillary Clinton, Biden, Trump. That's it.
That's it. Let's go to Blair, Sedona, Arizona. Hi, Blair. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, George. Hey, Craig, corporatism erasing nationalism and maintained by computer algorithms through artificial intelligence was predicted 2,000 years ago. It's sort of like the old Pogo cartoon from the 60s in the newspaper. We found the enemy, he is us, and I'm talking about the beast. And I'll just read Revelation 18:23. For your merchants, or read businessmen, were the great men of the earth, for by their sorcery all nations were deceived. What do you think about that, Mr. Hewlett?
Electronic funds transfer at the point of sale will make this country a slave state. Every bank will go along with it. You will not be able to use paper. You won't be able to write a check. You will have to be hooked into the system electronically the way the computer tells you. And as far as sovereignty goes, look, sovereignty has signified the complete autonomy of the state to act as it chooses without legal implication. What's happened is, if sovereignty in any such terms ever existed outside books on international law, it doesn't any longer exist. It has no meaning. The corporate empire rules, and there is no stopping it. That's why I said this book is explaining corporatism, the technology, the philosophy behind it, how we got here. We got here through our cooperation with it. Without our cooperation within this technological hegemony,
never would have happened.
It never would have happened if we didn't need it and want it and desire it.
Next up, Diamond's with us in New York. Hi, Diamond. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good morning. Good
morning,
Mr. Craig. You know, I find your topic extremely interesting. I happen to agree with you 100%. And yes, it was in 45 when the World War II ended. that the strategy to eliminate nationalism became so, because now let me get clear here. It was the Nazis that did start the UN, okay? That's a heavy statement, but it's the truth. This is what I learned in school, okay? And I'm an immigrant, okay? But in our days, they taught us American history and everything that went with it. And we also did learn that it was the Vatican that brought the Nazis out of Germany through the Swiss Alps from Italy, and that's how they came here, and they began the UN. Anyway, now we'll fast forward.
Operation Paperclip.
I'm sorry?
Operation Paperclip.
Yes. Now, fast forward, November of 2015, the last, the end of Obama's administration, I read in the news that he sold the World Wide Web to the UN. Okay? That, when I read that, it signified to me that the nationalism here in this country is really ended. Because Obama's administration, I'm sorry, I have a head cold, so if I sound bad, I apologize.
Oh, no, you sound fine.
But, yeah, but Obama's administration, the things that man did was a lot of things that was not depicting what America was standing for, okay? And to see that he sold the World Wide Web in November of 2015, I said, then this is the new world order headquarters.
How can you sell the World Wide Web, Craig?
I don't know what she's saying when she says he sold it. I think what she's saying is
maybe he opened it up.
The United Nations too much power over how the World Wide Web is utilized in
right.
each nation, and whether or not each nation, like for instance, China just ran a game on the Chinese people to see if they could shut down the web, and they successfully did for all Chinese people.
Mm-hmm.
And Russia dabbled in it as well. Now, America has done it also, but only in small areas. Now, why would they even think to do that? There can only be one reason, and that is that we have given up the sovereignty of the United States, as has every other country within their confines, and therefore at the United Nations, if the United Nations doesn't pass rules that obey the lack of sovereignty of each nation state, none of this could happen. Like I said, you know, I was quoting Antonio Shays in his 1997 book, The New Sovereignty, when I quoted what I read later, but in the book called Power by Adolf Burl, he goes on to explain it a little differently. When such a situation exists, it does not matter whether the institution conferring economic power is privately owned wealth or profit-creating apparatus, or whether it is a state or publicly owned economic instrument. The operative fact is that man holding economic power dreams of economic position as the base and seeks to extend his capacity and enforce his will as far as he can.
If you want to shut down protests, shut off smartphones and the internet, and people are helpless.
Exactly. So there's no reason to believe that if the technology exists and the power exists, that, see, this is my problem with Noam Chomsky. He believes we should attack institutions, we should be political, we should get elected, and we should change the institutions because it's institutions that are to blame. And Adolf Burl, in his book Power, says point blank, no, it's not. It's real, live men who, once they get economic position as a base, automatically seeks to extend his capacity to enforce his will
mm-hmm.
as far as he can. Now multiply that by 5,000 people sitting on each other's board of directors of the interlocking directorates of the largest multinational corporations, and you have identified, in my opinion, you've identified a very large chunk of the empire.
Exactly. Tyler's with us in Kittery, Maine. Hi, Tyler. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hello, Craig.
Hi.
And I'm a capitalist. for heaven's sake.
Go ahead, Tyler.
Okay. I work for a subsidiary of UTC, which UTC just merged with Raytheon. My question is, I was just wondering how mergers of companies like this, how will that impact our country and, for that matter, the world?
Well, that already has. You're still seeing it, Craig.
Every time a company merges or acquires, hostile or otherwise, another corporation, it does two things. It consolidates the power of that corporation into the hands of its board of directors to direct that corporation. Look at the corporation, see what they do for a living, and you'll get it. Every time a cruise missile launches, Raytheon makes $1 million. Henry Roos, who was the chairman of the Banking and Currency Committee, and Wright Patman did the study, observed this. Only two segments of American society, banking and big business, have any substantial representation on the boards, and often even these become merged through interlocking directorates. Small farmers are absent, small businesses not visible. The selection of these public officials with broad and essential policymaking powers should not be in the hands of a board of directors selected and dominated by private banking and corporate interests. He's talking about the concentration of economic and financial power at the Federal Reserve's 12 Federal Reserve banks.
Let's go to Joe, Long Island, New York now. Go ahead, yeah. Joseph.
Hi, Craig. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. The arms of propaganda, obviously we got fake news. But could that extend even to video games where they embed propaganda in video games?
Yeah, who's the author? His name is Tom Clancy. Just went public and wrote an article after many, many movies have been made. And he finally admitted that the CIA is rewriting his books.
Isn't that something? That's huge.
That's huge, yes. Tom Clancy has said the CIA is writing and rewriting my books. The last movie he did, I can't think of what it's called, He was just outraged. He gave a lecture at NSA, and in the lecture he said, I don't know if he's ever going to allow them to publish again, but that's where the arm of propaganda exists. He's not the only author, a Wall Street Journal author, and a New York Times author. When they retired, both wrote a piece together in the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and said, I was told to publish this piece with my name on it that was written by the CIA.
Yeah, he's got
over 25 of his articles were written that way.
He's got a TV series called Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. He said the CIA took his book and rewrote all of them. He didn't have a say. When you get a screenplay done, and I didn't work, but I was in Hollywood for 5 years. I knew Oliver Stone and Sean Penn and Warren Beatty. They wouldn't talk to you about doing anything with you unless you agreed to give up the rights to whatever it is you gave them.
That's right. Oh, no. And you had to sign a document to
yes.
do that. Absolutely.
And you can't sue.
Do we have time for one more quick? Well, before we do, give us that offer again on your new book.
Corporatism and Empire, $60. We reduced it to $60. Just call Kathy, 360-288-2652.
And it's your website. They can get information on that, too.
Yes, Craig B. Hewlett. Of course, the price will be vastly different on the website.
Craig, we've got a minute left. And as you look at the way things have been just going, is there hope for us? I hate to leave this on a downer, but is there hope?
Okay. Friedrich Nietzsche, and I'm a Nietzschean, two of my books are works based on Nietzsche's work. I happen to believe, as Nietzsche did, that the surest way to corrupt a youth is to instruct him to hold in higher esteem those who think alike than those who think differently. I happen to think differently.
You sure do.
It's not going to be a comfortable read. You're not going to necessarily like it, but hope, Friedrich Nietzsche said, was a debilitating, terrible thing that should be avoided. Because if you have hope, you tend to not act. You believe that the hope that someone else will fix it, that some other thing will fix it. Nobody's going to fix this. You have to.
Interesting. Craig, thank you. Keep in touch with us. Craig Hewlett. We will be back in a moment as we're going to talk about the Akashic Records and Astral Projection on Coast to Coast AM.